I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck. So you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Good morning, welcome in. Saturday, suckage. Time for suckage roll call. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Mike Tomlin.
Sucking.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Brian Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, do we suck?
Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, they used to pick me after the white kids.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you got to embrace the suck.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby.
Oh, my God, this sucks.
Random Bears fan.
At the front of the field, we suck.
Steph Curry.
We suck tonight.
Terry Bores.
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Avenue Q.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be broke and unemployed and turning 33.
St. John.
Sucks to me.
Ross Perot.
There will be a giant sucking sound going south.
Devin McCourty.
Sucks to end the season that way.
Nick Chubb.
One of the things that stuck to us when he came here, he said, you know, you got to embrace the suck.
Pat McAfee.
There are some commentators that suck out there.
Nicholas Ehlers.
Not a fun morning. It sucks.
Chris Ballard.
And now we lose these last two games and we just suck.
Giannis.
We suck. Play bad. They made shots, they played good, they played better than us.
Drew Doughty.
Thanks for going through this. I know it sucks watching it, but we'll get out there in a sec.
Mark Grody.
Bueller.
Mike Esposito.
Here, sir.
There you go. And we're ready to go.
What are you guys doing?
Putting on the foil every game.
Yeah, you want some?
No.
There you go. All right, putting on the foil 45 years ago yesterday, debut.
Special day yesterday.
Greatest sports movie ever made. There you go, Slapshot.
I will disagree with that. I enjoy me some Slapshot, but greatest sports movie ever made, probably.
He's Mike Esposito, and he's wrong. 312-644-6767. Call him up and tell him that he's wrong. How are you, Espo?
I'm great. It's good to see you. It's good to be here, and it's good to celebrate some Slapshot. It's good to celebrate us some Bulls and their winning ways the other night in exciting fashion. And it's everything is good. The sun is shining. It's almost March, although we should be having baseball already. We can talk about that.
Yes, spring training open today. That, oops.
Oh, yeah, babe. Right. And listen, I love prospect stories as much as anyone. So tell me about all of your prospects, Cubs and Sox. But when all we have is prospect stories, that's trouble.
We are broadcast, me and Espo are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We have a tech zone. The number is 312-644-6767. The tech zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Our guest, look at, we have guests lined up today. Cody Westerlund will be here to talk Bulls at 11:40. At 12:20, Sully will be here. Paul Sullivan, he will be at his curmudgeonly best. He'll be here at 12:20. Before that, we will replay parts of the Ian Happ interview that Bernstein and Rahimi did with the Cubs player, the Cubs union rep.
Yep.
And some really good stuff. I mean, if you're rooting against the players in this, you're an idiot. That's what I got to say. Because the owners are the bad guys. They're evil. They're deceitful. And we'll explore that more later on. At 12:40, Mark Grody.
Hey, I've heard of him.
This is his show. He won't be on this show, but he will be on this show. He's not on the show. Espo's on the show. Grody was in for Espo, who was in for Grody, who was in for
Jordan Bernfield, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. He's doing a play-by-play game.
Wayne Randazzo.
He's doing Mets now, so you've graduated.
Brian Peruke, who's now coaching Little League with Mike Esposito.
That's right. That's right.
Here we go. So, and we're all in for the chat champ, Dave Bell, who was doing well. We chatted a couple months ago.
Oh, good.
Well. Yeah,
we that's
had a good
wonderful.
Had a good talk. Doing well. And at 1 o'clock, Eric Hasseltine. Right? Did I get that right? Cesar Perez, our producer, Eric Hasseltine, will be here. He is the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. He is the voice of Ja Morant. He will be here. We will talk at 1 o'clock. We'll talk Bulls and Grizz, because they will play tonight right here on these very airwaves. We are home to your Bulls. 6:45 is the Swirsk, his pregame show, tip at 7. And then Mike Esposito, who is one of, you know, the Bulls claim to have a deep bench. Our Bulls pregame, halftime, postgame show, we have a deep bench.
Sure.
We're right there with them.
I'm glad to be a part of it. I did Thursday night. I believe Rick Camp has tonight. I doubt, I'm not sure if he will be in studio, but he will do the post-game show. Because that's just the way he rolls.
And this thing is a mess. I'm using my computer. I just want to say this. Zach LaVine is right. That's not why he's going to get more than $200 million. He's going to get that because he's terrific at basketball. Remember when he went to the All-Star game?
I do.
I did not want him playing. I don't mind if he shot.
I agree with you.
Point. It's just 100%. Awful that he played. But that's not why he's right or wrong. What he's right about is that he and DeRozan, the DeMar DeRozan, are the best duo in the NBA. The stats will tell you that. You look at at unpredictable.com, and I'm trying to find that because I hit the wrong button, as I am wont to do here.
You are the captain of technology. We know that.
Yeah. And the website has created a created a metric. Doesn't everybody have their own metric? And it's updated after every game. And it's the win player probability, win probability, and each player is rated on that. So, DeMar DeRozan, this is after last night's games, right? DeMar DeRozan, okay. His WPA is 9.38. Who do you think is second, and what would the number be?
I'm going to go with Giannis, and I have no reason to guess, and let's go with 7.
Okay, Giannis is 7th.
Okay.
At 4.41.
So I was off on the number.
On everything. 2nd is Steph Curry. Okay. You've heard of him. He was in our suck roll call. So DeMar DeRozan's WPA, according to Inpredictable.com, this win probability added, is 9.38. Steph Curry is 2nd at 5.73.
Holy cow.
He's not even 2nd. Nobody is 2nd.
No.
What happens is you have Giannis barely ahead of Zach LaVine. Just roll that around.
Yeah.
What win probability takes into consideration mostly are turnovers, shots, efficiency, turnovers, and scoring, obviously. But there's other parts of it too, which includes your rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, and like that. So that's the what you would expect of that kind of player, almost an MVP. Mm-hmm. How much more does your team benefit? What would you bring to a team? The win probability with you in the game. Zach LaVine is 8th. He and DeMar DeRozan are the two highest ranked teammates. They are the best duo in basketball because once you go down this list, DeRozan, Curry, Jokic. See, there's your MVP favorite, reigning MVP. Yep. He's 3rd. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid, who is just, see, this is where he could tear things up.
Yep.
From here on out with James Harden.
Yeah, and they did last night.
Yep. Yes, they did. Karl Anthony Towns, what a thing he is.
Yep.
And Karl Anthony Towns, they beat Ja Morant and the Grizz last game. So the Grizz will come in tonight against your Bulls, a little angry. Then Giannis, I'm sorry, then Patty Mills and Giannis and Zach LaVine, he's 8th. Malik Monk and LeBron James. Couple Lakers there making up the top 10. So Zach LaVine is right. They are the best duo in basketball according to that metric.
Do you remember, I'm sure you do, back at the beginning of the season when people were worried about who was going to have the ball at the end of games? In other words, who was going to take those shots? You remember that? I love, and listen, of course he's having a great season. He's everyone's favorite Bull right now, and nothing against Zach LaVine. I love watching DeMar with the ball in his hand at the end of games and just doing his thing, getting to his spot. You know, sometimes he's gonna pivot one way, sometimes he's gonna pivot the other way, sometimes he's gonna head fake and go under you. I mean, just, it's a thing of beauty. It really, he is outsmarting his opponents to get his shots. It's beautiful to watch. I love it.
Outsmarting by simply taking the shot that's there.
Yeah.
The mid-range shot. Because so much, we heard a lot of that on this station, that you either get a layup or you take a 3 because 3 is worth more than 2.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the math now when DeMar DeRozan is showing you that 2 is worth 2 and maybe a foul and he can do it 1-on-4 and he's and he must be shooting like 110% from the free throw line.
I think he was 15 of 21 from the floor last night, including some threes, but he's mainly shooting that mid-range jumper, as we all know. But, I mean, his shooting percentage is so good, and he's getting his shot. He's not taking bad shots. You could say that very clearly about DeMar DeRozan. He is not taking bad shots. You don't look at a DeMar DeRozan shot and be like, oh, man, he should not have taken that. That does not happen. He works for his shot, and he gets it.
And makes it.
More often than not.
He's efficient. Yes. He's accurate. You trust him. And there was a thing that Rob Schaefer of NBC Sports Chicago had written about clutch minutes, and I don't have the entire breakdown of that. Just Rob's good. Rob has credibility. Believe what he says. So DeMar DeRozan in 99 clutch minutes this season. He has 120 points. That's 2nd in the NBA. His field goal percentage is 55.6%. That's like
amazing.
That's the Packers sweep. You know he's going to get the ball. You know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
and you can't stop it. Neener, neener, neener. His free throw percentage is 88.9%. I thought it was both, frankly. I thought it was higher than that, but they're both his field goal percentage and his free throw percentage are first in those clutch minutes. He has 16 assists against 3 turnovers.
And his free throw percentage was higher. He had a bit of a cold streak from the line right before the All-Star break. There was one game he missed like 6 of 14 free throws. But anyway, he's back to making his free throws as you knew he would. But that is those are big man numbers, right? If you're shooting 55% from the floor, you're shooting from like 2 feet away. But he's not shooting from 2 feet away.
No, he's shooting from 15 feet away where everybody said, no, 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 you can't do that. Oh, really? You can shoot yourself into a MVP candidacy.
Our friends from the 815 are texting in. And after the Suckage roll call, they wanted to let us know that this show sucks almost as much as Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
Not there yet. We're not there yet. Maybe by 2 o'clock we'll be there.
We'll discuss Rob Clownfred later on. Yes, we will. Forgot Bubba Wallace post Daytona. Really? Did you see this 847 text, Caesar? Forgot Bubba Wallace post Daytona 500 interview. According to him, it sucks. How are we missing Bubba Wallace? We're big Bubba Wallace fans here.
Looks like we have another addition there we're going to have to add.
Well, the more that we can add. See, here's the advantage to do finding all of that. The more we might be able to take up a full segment
I think
with
so.
Roll Call. And
that's
there'll
be
less of us talking sports and making idiots of ourselves. He's Mike Esposito. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Is that phone call on line one? Is that somebody who wants to tell Espo he's an idiot for not loving Slapshot the way I do? As number one sports movie of all time? What is that, Caesar? Hello, Caesar, you with us, or is Bruce Levine still telling you?
Here. I'm going to screen him, and we'll figure out what he wants to say.
Oh, you have no idea what he's about?
Mystery caller.
The phone rings, and that's it. All right. Well,
it's a very efficient,
at least somebody's
efficient,
listening.
Operation
and the Score
here.
Listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Here's something else that people may want to call in. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to take the long way to a topic. But it eventually comes back to the Bulls, to basketball dynasties, and we'll do that in a moment. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mike Esposito. It's Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to, and it's a privilege and an honor, and we just can't, we simply cannot do it better than Rob Clownfred and the deceitful baseball owners, but we're trying to help. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
108-107, Atlanta, DeRozan, foul line left, got it, count it, foul, DeMar DeRozan with the hoop, the horn, and one. DeMar DeRozan has 36, looking for more, and the Bulls lead 109-108 with 15 seconds left.
Chuck Swirsky. Calling the play-by-play, as he will tonight, Bulls and Grizz. Chuck's pregame show is 6:45. We will talk Bulls and Grizz with Cody Westerlund, 11:40 today, and with Eric Hasseltine. Somebody tell me.
Ovaltine. Right.
The voice Hasseltine. Of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Teen.
He will
teen.
Be here to talk Josh.
Smells like Hasseltine spirit.
Yes. Okay. So we'll be doing that. In the meantime, in this segment... Okay, so I'm going to take the long way to this topic on a dark desert highway, cool wind in my hair.
Ooh, eagles.
Mm-hmm. Smell of Pelitas rising into the air. 45 years ago Monday, by the way. This is a big week 45 years ago.
Okay.
Slapshot and the release of Hotel California.
I did not know the Eagle. I knew Slapshot. I did not know Hotel California.
There you go. So for a Valley boy, and this week I saw Licorice Pizza.
And?
Do you know what Licorice Pizza is?
It's the PTA movie, right? Paul Thomas Anderson?
Yes. And it's great. It's where I grew up. I grew up in the Valley. I'm a Valley boy. Oh, my God.
It's right in your wheelhouse. So if we still had movie reviews on this show, we would have movie reviews.
Well, we're going to have one. It's really good. He's terrific as a director in capturing all that. And it's the movie I could identify. Do you know what Licorice Pizza is a euphemism for?
No.
A vinyl album.
Oh, I like those. I have those.
There was a record store named Licorice Pizza in the Valley.
LP, I get it. Sure,
so,
okay.
So it was licorice pizza, right? It's licorice, it's black, and
yep.
like a pizza.
Yep.
And
yep.
they do this, and I could identify far more with this. By the way, Bradley Cooper as John Peters, a spectacular turn in this movie.
Okay, I'm going to have to
and
see this
And it was
now.
All the things I lived through.
Yep.
And including interviewing one of the politicians in there, the real version of this politician. It's just, it's amazing. And I loved the movie. I'd not been in there and had buttered popcorn. It's first movie in like 2-3 years, right?
We've uh-huh.
been... So speaking of movies, come March 6th, this is the long way I took to this, right?
Okay.
March 6th, HBO Max will be debuting a story about called Winning Time, the story of the Lakers dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a movie.
Yep.
Will you watch this?
I watch it, yes. Will I make a point to not miss it? Not really. But I would, like, if it were on, I'd watch it. But I'm not going to, like, set aside time to watch it, if that makes sense to you.
I hate these things. And it's not because this was part of, like, the Eagles and licorice pizza, and there's my feckless 70s, and then in my feckless 80s, I lived through this. I was proximate to Magic Johnson and Jerry Buss and
sure.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Pat Riley, and Pat Riley's famous quote, while he was sitting next to Chick Hearn before he became the legend coach,
mm-hmm.
was talking about the lack of physicality. And this would be a precursor to what he would do as the thug coach of the Nets,
Knicks,
right?
Yeah. Yep, Knicks, yep.
So there's a famous cut out there of Pat Riley saying, I've seen more pushing in the men's room. Swear to God. That's what Pat Riley said, sitting next to Chick Hearn, the legendary Laker broadcaster. So I hate these things.
Uh-huh.
And it's even more acute now, and maybe Bulls fans feel this way. Maybe you feel this way. We watched The Last Dance, and, you know, we have geographical bias. This
of course.
Is the team, the best player we ever saw. This is the team we saw win a dynasty, 2 three-peats.
Yep.
And I would much rather watch the real Michael Jordan than a fake Magic Johnson. I don't want somebody acting as Magic Johnson. Somebody
Correct.
Acting as Jerry Buss. Somebody.
That's got to be that's John C. Reilly, right? Isn't it? As Jerry Buss, it sure looks like him. It is. All right, Caesar's giving me a thumbs up.
I don't know, and I don't.
It totally looked like him.
Because when I hear Jerry Buss, I've interviewed the man, know
You've been
the man.
There, yeah,
I've
exactly.
interviewed Jeannie Buss. She's a former Playboy playmate, bunny. She was uh-huh. a Playboy bunny, and her Aunt Jerry's sister was a Playboy bunny. So Jerry had a predilection for this kind of stuff, for women. And Scott Osler, who is a LA Times columnist, San Francisco columnist, he worked for the National, had a great line when I was at Sport Magazine, and he had written about Jerry Buss. He says, and he's talking about the maturing of Jerry Buss. He will go out with a woman these days, but no longer ask if she has a younger sister. So
the Showtime era. Now that would have been fun. I would imagine to have been there, experienced it as it was happening. I mean, we experienced it from a distance, and I, as a younger kid at the time, going through it. Right. I mean, I was as Jordan. Jordan was the perfect. He came in at the perfect time for me. I graduated high school. I was in my high school years as they were battling the Pistons. And then
dirty Pistons.
And there was nothing better than those games, even in hindsight, as they were losing some of those series, because it built you up to the next year when you'd eventually win, and then you'd win those titles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the perfect age for that. The Showtime Lakers, that was my introduction almost to professional basketball. You know, when you used to get a national game on TV like once a week or whatever, it was always the Lakers or the Celtics or them playing each other,
mm-hmm.
it seemed like. So that was, outside of the Bulls, who were terrible before Jordan came there, and then they were terrible even for a little bit when he was there, those were your teams, Lakers, Celtics, right? And then Jordan kind of carrying the Bulls. We had the Pistons, I guess, regionally, but I was never a fan of any of those. But Magic Johnson, boy, you could root for Magic Johnson. That was easy.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Bird, same thing.
Right. It was, and those were the, my mother, who never... She was a big Dodger fan because of Sandy Koufax. So we had the Jewish pitcher. She's a big Dodger fan. But never fancied herself. I never saw her as any a fan of any other sport, but she would get so mad at Kevin McHale. So dirty. That he's such how can he do that? My mom's getting mad at Kevin McHale during the Lakers Celtics. I mean, it helped revive the NBA because they had this the cross-country rivalry, and it was regular, and it was two classic teams, and it was a lot of the 60s being played all over again when the Celtics became legendary and then the Lakers did. But really what happened was the NBA became a legend, helped this along, and Michael Jordan was helped along when they stopped calling traveling and carrying over.
Carrying, for sure.
Right. So they stopped calling all of that, and then they started refereeing it harder. So they made Michael Jordan what he could become, and he was allowed to fly as opposed to get clotheslined by the by Bill Laimbeer and the rest of those thugs.
Yeah.
So that was what happened then. But you had such a thing that in L.A., you have to understand that it wasn't like here – Michael Jordan was the players were the biggest names, the stars, the celebrities. They were on the court when you were watching your Bulls.
Yep.
Not in L.A.
Nope.
See, sports in L.A. competes with Hollywood. It competes with movies, TV, rollerblading, SPF 15, In-N-Out Burger, and here – you have two celebrities, you're right. You have Thin Oprah and Fat Oprah.
and didn't we just see this like this year? The Rams. Nobody cared about the Rams. They won the Super Bowl.
Until there was one game left.
Until it was the Super Bowl. Right.
So you would have, this is the way the Lakers would play. You watched the finals. We always watched the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw there was Jack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin and Denzel, all the one name.
All of your
people.
Courtside guys, yep.
And then we even got to know Lou Adler. He was the guy with the white beret sitting next to Jack.
Yes.
And you know how big they were, that this was Lakers, Celtics. This was Magic and Bird, Kareem and Chief, and Worthy and McHale. These were the biggest names,
yep.
not named Dr. J and Moses Malone,
yep.
Right? This was in the final. And into the garden, the old garden, with a parquet floor, during a Lakers practice, walks Jack. He never consented to an interview. But at that final, he needed to sell a movie called The Witches of Eastwick.
Oh, I remember.
Jack made himself available to this.
Oh, no way.
Yes, to the media. He walks in. It's the only time he did that because he was at every, really, like every finals. And there was, when the Lakers played, I can't remember which it was, not the Lakers, when the Bulls played Utah, one of the last two finals, and I should know because it was when Gene Siskel had brain surgery.
Okay.
He had developed the tumor, he had had the surgery, and I'm standing there with Terry Armour at halftime of one of the games, we're talking, and up walks Gene. He's got a ball cap on it. Oh my God. He was like 2 months out of it, whatever it was. Gene. What gives?
Uh-huh.
And Gene says, they weren't going to win one without me here. And Gene was having, and how he got up to us, I didn't know. I mean, we're on that, you know, the level where they opened up a bunch of rooms for the media workroom.
Yep.
And it's on the level where Gene's seats were on the floor level.
Yep.
So it's not like you're walking anywhere. You don't have to traverse any steps.
Right.
But he still needed help. So we're, halftime's almost over. We're still talking with him, me and Terry Armour, late Terry Armour. And up walks the guy who's going to help Gene to his seat. And I said, I know you. You're Jack Nicholson. And it was.
No kidding.
Jack Nicholson is helping Gene Siskel to his seat. And he just grunts at me and Terry and grabs Gene. Not grab him, not to hurt him, but takes Gene's
arm. Escorts him, yeah.
Yes, and they're off. There's Jack Nicholson. But when he's selling a movie, Lakers Celtics, and it's the biggest thing going, there's Jack Nicholson walking into Boston Garden to give interviews for the Witches of Eastwick.
which I never saw, and I'm assuming was bad, but I remember it as a movie thing. I believe Cher was in that, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh, and I think Michelle Pfeiffer, and I'm not sure who the third witch was.
Don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, and one thing that you'll appreciate, my Hotel California story. So my dad had very few record albums. He was not a record buyer. He had a handful of things. He liked his Electric Light Orchestra. My mom had the Grease and Saturday Night Fever, but their record album collection was probably about 15 albums. So
was,
when I'm
was
a kid,
mom a beauty school dropout?
No, but she would listen to it all the time. So
I love that song.
Between that and Saturday Night Fever, the soundtrack, I mean, those songs are ingrained in my brain.
I got to get my white
but
suit.
But my point being, one of the only albums, and I like the Grease soundtrack and whatever, but one of the only albums that I, as a kid, would listen to repeatedly because I liked it, and therefore it became my first, one of my first albums that I ever really knew, was Hotel California, because my dad had that one, and I would listen to it as a child.
And you could check out, but you could never leave.
Could never leave.
Check out any time you want, but you could never leave.
And as I got older and got back into vinyl, I have all of his old albums, so I have his Hotel California album at my house.
So you've proven to be a prisoner of your own device.
Yes, right. I have.
We're going to take a break from these irrational song lyrics.
He'll be back.
Before we do,
he'll be back later, folks.
Before we do, do you want to tell Julie Swyko over the air what your favorite sports movie is?
Hi, Julie. Yes, Field of Dreams is my vote. Thank you for texting. And Rosie, she says hi, and she also mentioned Bull Durham, which is a very good call as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah. Okay. I did not mean to cut you off.
No,
I didn't think I did. And then when we're talking about it, Julie, he couldn't even name it. He had to winnow it down.
Now he's just lying.
I'm not.
Susan Sarandon was the last Witch of Eastwick, apparently.
Well, that was typecasting. Okay, we're going to move along, and Cody Westerland's going to be here to talk about the Bulls. We're not going to talk about The Last Dance or Winning Time. We are going to talk about DeMar and Zach, and they are the best duo according to the win probability metric, and they need to win. They need to beat a team that, according to 538, ranks the Grizzlies better and higher and greater chances than the Bulls. So we'll talk with Cody Westerlund, who covers the Bulls for us, The Score. He's Mike Esposito, and whatever random movie he can think of is his best favorite sports movie. Me, I'm Slapshot Stevie Rosenberg.
Yeah.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Young holding and looking in play to Gallinari. Gallinari with a ball fake. Comes up shooting, 21-footer left wing, no. Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. Six in a row for the Bulls. 112-108 over Atlanta as DeMar DeRozan, 37 points. 15-21 from the floor. Make it 8 straight games of scoring 35 or more, shooting better than 50% from the field.
That's Chuck. Gonna have to. What's gonna happen when the Bulls win the NBA title?
Chuck's dance after the finals game will be epic. His Twitter.
It will
dance.
Have to be. I mean, NORAD will have to find him out in wherever. The Hubble telescope may not be powerful enough to track him down.
He was so excited after DeRozan's go-ahead bucket the other night that the United Center lost all power for 5 minutes, and then it came back on for the end of the
right.
game.
That's right. I love Chuck.
Oh,
I worry about his health. I just want him to be good and strong for all that. Welcome in. Welcome back. And remember, Espo, some dance to remember, some dance to forget.
I think we're going to get lyrics from Hotel California for the rest
all
of the show.
All of them.
The best part is you can pull them from just like that, like from different parts of the song, just left and right.
That's right. And here our next guest is one of the pretty, pretty boys that we call friends. He's Cody Westerland, and he covers the Bulls for The Score. And he's just on The Score hotline presented by Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Cody, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, guys. I share your sentiment about Chuck. He's been fired up lately during this winning streak, but I'm also slightly concerned about his health if DeMar does hit like a game winner in the playoffs or something. Like, it feels like sometimes he might explode, you know, with excitement. But
I wonder about fun. I wonder about, like, if we get this in February, what I worry about, say, a series clinching, first round series clincher, and then, oh my God, would there be any part, would they need dental records to identify what's left of, like, Chuck? I love the enthusiasm and I love the dancing. I just want him to be around to do that.
Can you imagine if Chuck, like, called the shot, Jordan shot over Elo?
Oh boy.
Like, that's just really fun to think about. It would be amazing. I mean, the call's already great, but thinking about Chuck doing it would be insane.
I hope he gets that. You know what we should do? I've never asked. I don't think we've asked Chuck. Maybe you have, Cody. And it, these are things that come up, not on the air, but you talk about with broadcasters. You talk about a lot of things, like, what's your greatest call? What do you remember most? What's the, somebody says great call, and what passes? What's the snapshot in your mind? And I would love to ask Chuck that, because didn't he call Kobe's 81? Right?
I believe
so. Toronto, and he certainly called Vince Carter's get whatever Vince was doing.
Yep.
And now he's calling DeMar DeRozan, who passed Wilt Chamberlain in this streak, right?
Yeah. And Cody, think about this too. I know, and I happened to do postgame for both of these games back in December, the back to back 3-point game winners on back to back nights. I mean, that was, we played those a million times. Those are excitable moments there.
They were amazing, and the way it's going, I mean, those are two signature moments for DeMar's MVP case at this point. And I guess Thursday night was as well, kind of closing out the Hawks, but it's been a spectacular season from him. And DeMar and the Bulls have given Chuck plenty to be excited about in this 6-game winning streak.
So they play the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Grizzlies coming off a loss in Minnesota where Cat was doing what all kinds of cat things. And it's like, you know what? He is such a good story, by the way. I'm digressing. Karl Anthony Towns is such a wonderful story and such a heartfelt story.
Sure.
It's like, it's almost like it's a Hallmark Channel movie of the week. And he's somebody you really root for. And he's leading the Timberwolves over the evil, dreaded Grizzlies, and they're coming in here now. Do you have any idea the health of Ja Morant, who left the game and came back the other night, and will factor big tonight?
He should be good to go. He was not in question on the injury report when it was posted last night. I don't know if anything's changed, but it sounds like Ja should be ready to go. I can check that for you guys if you want here, but it's, like you said, it's going to be a really exciting matchup at the United Center. I mean, the Grizzlies are third in the West and just having an absolute breakout season and have been spectacular. Desmond Bane, we saw him in the All-Star festivities a little bit too on All-Star weekend. And I just looked, and Josh should be good to go. He's not listed on the injury report for tonight after getting banged up the other night. So, like I said, I mean, we saw Io guard Trae Young really well the other night. He's going to have another really tough task tonight staying in front of Ja, who's one of the most explosive guys in the NBA. And this is a good test for the Bulls because, look, they're on a 6-game winning streak, but those first five didn't come against teams that were a tough competition before the All-Star break. And the Hawks also are not the best of the best in the East, obviously, even though they've been playing better lately in recent weeks and have a really good offense. So this is where it seems like it starts getting harder for the Bulls against Memphis tonight. Got Miami coming up Monday night. And this is where they have to keep their heads above water just a little bit here as they keep playing and everything. So I'm excited. Back in January, the Grizzlies handled the Bulls pretty well in Memphis for the most part. So I think we'll get a better game at the United Center tonight, though.
Yeah, and Cody, I wanted to ask you about DeMar, too, because you mentioned his MVP candidacy. And certainly he's got to love and feel the love when the United Center crowd starts chanting MVP at him. And even on some of the road stadiums, we, I believe, have had MVP chants for DeMar. But not only is he scoring, and not only is he leading the team field goal percentage-wise, he also is tied with Lonzo Ball, I actually just checked this, in assists, too. So he is not just scoring. He's doing a little bit of everything.
He's been, again, just spectacular. But Billy Donovan talks about this all the time, the way he plays within the game, right? Like, Ayo Dosunmu made the comment the other night I thought was really good. Like, DeMar knows when he needs to be selfish. And the other night, for example, it was the last minute of the game when he needed to be selfish for the Bulls. Like, the Bulls' offense had bogged down. They didn't have a field goal for over 4 minutes, kind of late in the fourth quarter. And then he went to those two isolation plays, which Billy kind of directed, obviously, and called to get him in spots on the floor where he could be in isolation. That was kind of the thought in mind. But DeMar doesn't just, like, isolate for the sake of isolating no reason. Like, that's within the system of what they're doing, the Bulls. Billy stresses this all the time. They need to cut at the right moments. When DeMar has the ball, they need to just go to a new spot on the floor, even if it's behind the three-point line, switch it up. Like, he doesn't want anyone standing around. And DeMar seems like the Bulls, and he seemed like they really know what they're doing now. Like, Zach LaVine's playing very, very well off DeMar DeRozan as well now that he's back healthier with that knee. But it's a case where early in the year, it's like we're looking at the Bulls' defense, right? Like, that's a top five, top 10 defense for long stretches with Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso. Those guys have been out. The Bulls have plummeted to around 20th in the NBA in defense, but they're a top five offense, and they're kind of what we expected them to be before the season, just the identity of the team, the offense kind of carrying the load a little bit more. And DeMar's doing that. Zach's playing well off of him. And then Vooch has just been much, much better over the last month or 6 weeks even. So it's coming together on the offensive end for the Bulls, and Billy really wants them to improve defensively. That's where his concerns are right now.
The expertise you hear is presented by Cody Westerlund. He covers the Bulls for us for the Score. And, Cody, the point you make about the defense, DeMar DeRozan is not leaving the court. His offense will always, they will give him every chance to outscore his defensive liabilities. But Vooch is another case in point, another consideration with Tristan Thompson there. So I don't know if Billy Donovan, do you think Billy Donovan is going to face any kind of epic question about what to do with Vooch at the end of the game with Thompson here, or how do you think that's going to play out?
I don't think it will be a big crossroads or anything. I think Vooch is going to be in that closing lineup pretty much no matter what. I mean, if you're talking about offensive, defensive substitutions here and there when there's dead balls or you got a couple timeouts in the last couple minutes of a game, sure, he could put Tristan Thompson in for Vooch. But I don't foresee any scenario in which Vooch is not closing games for the Bulls ever, and that's because he's playing so much better on the offensive end now, but also because their half-court offense needs Vooch. Like, it really does. DeMar's been so good in isolation, but you've seen a few times where teams run a second defender at him or overload the floor. We even saw it on Thursday a little bit against the Hawks, where the offense bogs down a little bit, and if Vooch isn't on the floor to stretch the floor, to get the ball around the elbow and keep the ball moving. Like, he's certainly a capable passer, smart guy on the offensive end there, seeing everything. In addition to now he's starting to punish people around the rim more. His two-point percentage has skyrocketed here over the last month, just how he's finishing better, closer to the basket. Like, they need him on the offensive end in a way to be like a fulcrum of the offense, whereas Tristan Thompson absolutely would be a better pick-and-roll defender than Vooch, but I don't think that outweighs what Vooch would bring you offensively in a half-court setting, where in the NBA, slows down or bogs down a little bit more in the playoffs, and half-court probably becomes slightly more important than it does in the regular season. So I think that's why Vooch will be closing games outside of, like I said, maybe some offense-defense substitutions.
Cody, Billy will have some decisions to make, though, especially with his rotation as, and of course, we want the Lonzo Balls and Alex Caruso's of the world to come back as soon as possible. Patrick Williams will be back soon enough. But that will mean decisions for him as far as how he uses players, how he's managing his rotation, etc., especially at the guard position. I think they're going to have a player or two too many, right?
Yep. And minutes were going to go down for Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu, certainly, I think. And I think that's a really interesting question, too, right? Because Caruso's coming off the bench already if the Bulls are fully healthy as your number one guard off the bench, even though maybe one of the Bulls' best lineups this year has kind of been Caruso closing as the three or the four, something like that. DeMar usually slides down to power forward, but Caruso being in a closing lineup in like a three-guard lineup. So he's still going to get a lot of minutes because he's so good defensively and gets the Bulls out in transition, but that will chip away a little bit at Ayo's time. Kobe's time. There might come a time in the playoffs where Billy has to decide on some days, like, who's getting the main minutes off the bench for Ayo or Kobe. And I think that could be really matchup based. Like, Io's been the better all-around player, but we've seen Kobe White, like, win games for the Bulls with this three-point shooting. And, like, we've talked about this too a little bit. Like, You could be tied 1-1 in a second-round playoff series, and Kobe could go off for 7 three-pointers and basically win you a game that maybe you didn't deserve to win, or it wasn't the best game for everyone else. But also, you got to probably have a quick leash with him, putting him back on the bench if he is struggling shooting in the playoff setting, because Io brings so much more defensively, for example, like when he can guard someone like Trae Young. So I see those things being the decision. And like you said, the other one is, how does Patrick Williams slot in minutes-wise? Billy has been asked and didn't really say too much about what his role will be when he comes back. I would assume when he comes back, at first he would come back off the bench just when he gets back healthy. But by the time the year ends and the playoffs start, they would have to decide whether to put him in the starting lineup. And it feels like, to me, if he's playing well and feels good, it would trend that way, because they need someone like Patrick Williams on defense to guard someone like Giannis on the other end. Guys like that, just a big-bodied guy, someone like Kevin Durant in a playoff setting. Like, Patrick Williams physically is the best the Bulls can kind of trot out to hope to slow down or contain someone like that a little bit. And Javon for the Bulls at power forward this year, he's just so undersized that I think Patrick Williams' size would really help the Bulls defensively later in the year and as the playoffs roll around.
Don't leave any of those 6 fouls in your pocket. Real quick before we let you go, Cody, I got a question for you about today's game. I don't think there's any chance. The Bulls suck against winning teams. The Grizzlies are one. The Heat on Monday or another. Tonight they'll play the Grizzlies, 6:45 airtime on the Score. I don't think there's any chance they would look at this would be considered a trap game, looking ahead to the Heat because they're a rival. Do you put emphasis on one or more of the other? If they're only going to win one game, do they need to beat the Heat because that matters more? The Grizz are kind of the Bulls of the West. How do you look at these next two games?
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking right now, I think I'd rather take a win over the Heat for confidence reasons, because the Bulls could run into them in the playoffs. I mean, depending how the seeds shake out, it's looking like these two teams will be around the top four somehow, but they could run into each other in the second round, certainly, if they win first-round series. And the Heat blew the Bulls out in Miami earlier in the year when the Bulls had some COVID problems. The Heat won, I think, a three-point game at the United Center that they were in control of pretty much the whole night early in the season. And they're a really tough team. So anytime someone in your conference, I would hedge toward the Heat. I think you would learn more, and the Bulls might have a little bit more confidence, because say what you will, I can't see, no one's betting on the Bulls and Grizzlies running into each other in the playoffs and both making the NBA Finals, but the Heat would be a team that you could definitely see the Bulls in a tough 7-game series against in the playoffs. So I think confidence-wise, if you had to pick one, I'd take the win Monday night, a team that you could see again, and a team that, look, I don't want to say the Heat are a terrible matchup for the Bulls, but they did play better and out-tough them a little bit the last time they're at the United Center. I don't think the Heat are... It doesn't feel like to me they're a team like Joel Embiid's just a nightmare matchup for the Bulls every time they play him. It's like they have no chance to defend him. You don't see that with the Heat. I think the Bulls can match up with the Heat, but the Heat have got the best of them.
All right, we'll look forward to it. We'll look forward to talking with you more. Cody, thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
Yep, appreciate it, guys.
Cody Westerlund of The Score covers the Bulls. We're going to take a break when we come back. Ian Happ was on The Score this week. We're going to let you hear from him, and then Espo and I will talk about it. Steve Rosenblum, Mike Esposito, Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.